three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. For new listeners, because we're only in round, three? This is the NBL, the Australian and New Zealand Basketball League, in your pocket. It's all the rounds games. We're going to chat about that, the major storylines, and we're going to all do it in all under 45 minutes. That is the hope. That is the goal. My name is Joseph Kaur. I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Canyon.
Hello, Joseph. Hello, listeners. It's good to be back with you again on, I was going to say Tuesday night, but it's not Tuesday night. It's Monday night.
We did Monday. I brought it forward because I'm going out tomorrow night. And
fair enough. That. You're entitled to a life.
Exactly. So, and I don't know why Tuesday was a better night for Monday, but it is. But people don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear about that at all. They don't care. What they want to hear about is Jesse Wagstaff and the suspension. For people that didn't watch the game, Perth, Melbourne, in Perth, Wagstaff set a screen in the backcourt. Lockie Barker led with the head. And when you lead with the head, you get hit in the head and got creamed and concussed. Nothing funny about it. I did laugh then, so it was a bit funny, but it shouldn't be. You got really badly hurt, and it's not good to see. Canyon, thoughts? Yes. Good, bad? The hit? Let's go with the hit. Did you think the hit was dirty?
No, I didn't. I think we've been seeing that's like being a play in basketball forever. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, that used to be praised when you would run that play. And still has been. How many times over the last few years have we talked about Nate Jawai setting terror screens? And then this year it was Aaron Baines setting terror screens. They pump this stuff up. It's a legitimate part of the game. So the hit was good.
Yep, agreed. The suspension. I think he's got a 2-match ban and he can maybe get down to one if he takes an early guilty plea, I think was what I read.
Yeah. Are you asking for my opinion on this?
Yeah, do you think it's apt, just, fair?
What a load of bollocks.
Why do you say that?
Clearly nobody on the match review panel has ever played basketball. Oh. If you've played basketball, you know that, first of all, that you're setting a screen. And I know they said, he showed, what was it?
Twisted,
not junior care.
Unruly rough play.
You are setting a screen and you've got about half a second to brace for impact and to know that, you know, you're going to get hit as much as that guy's going to hit, you know, get hit by you. You have to brace. And just in that natural tendency of bracing, you will move a little bit. It's not because you're trying to take his head off. It's just ridiculous.
I'm going to jump in here. Oh, unless you've got anything else?
Oh, I've got plenty, but you know.
Well,
I'll
jump in and you go ahead. I'm going to kind of play the other side of the coin here. Now, I thought it was a fair play by Wagstaff. These things happen. Guys get hurt. There's a contact sport. It's a non-contact sport with contact, is the way I'll put it. Yeah. Guys get hurt. This happens all the time. Barker led with the head. I mean, his head was ahead of his body like a greyhound. What was going to happen? If a guy in AFL did this, everyone would be saying led with the head. You know, these things, you know, not good look. I think the other thing that I'll say is, boy, the NBL's compass is getting really small and people talk about it every year, but it is really starting to bother me this year. The coverage, every player who's commentating is either from Southeast Melbourne or Melbourne. Mm-hmm. We had Rath and Mays commentating the Illawarra game, which obviously was not filmed, but certainly broadcast out of Melbourne.
Yep.
Shay Illy's concussion has its fingertips all over this decision. And he's a Melbourne player. And the whole league revolves around that team. And he's got this bad concussion. And so that's now a point of emphasis big time. And I can't complain about it being a point of emphasis. Head trauma, CTE, it's very on board. And no team, no sport wants to be aligned with head injuries. It can't be seen. And, you know, here's the thing with Wagstaff. It's like, well, you didn't mean to make contact, but you did. And we don't want head high. We want to absolutely send every message that we discourage and look down upon head contact. You made it 2 weeks, take a week. Yeah. Tough bickies. What else have you got to say?
So if you're going to do that, you can't be picking and choosing. First of all, if it's going to be a point of emphasis, you need to make sure everybody is aware that it's a point of emphasis, right?
Yeah. Cause what's his name got nailed in cans?
Jonah Antonio.
Jonah Antonio. He got I forget hit by whom.
The game before that, it was Jordan Hunter set exactly the same style of screen in the backcourt. He got knocked down by it. Play on, no worries.
Knocked down or knocked out?
He was certainly knocked down. I'm not sure if his status after it. I didn't see, because I wasn't watching that game. I was on my way.
He seemed to be holding the head.
But so he looked a bit sore, but I don't know like if there was any concussion. I know he'd suffered concussion earlier in a preseason game as a because of a similar sort of situation.
Yeah, right.
So no issue with that one. And I just think if you're going to say, well, it's a damage to the head, we need to be careful. You can't then just go saying, oh, he got hurt, so therefore you're under scrutiny. But luckily, that guy didn't get hurt, so you're off scot-free. Mm. You either got to cite everybody or just say it's part of the game, we're going to let it go, or you say we're no longer allowing backcourt screens or something like that. And at that point, the whole league has jumped the shark.
You've jumped the shark. You've changed the game. No, I agree. If you're a product, you can understand the NBL. If you're a product, you don't want to be saying that you're on board with head injuries of any kind and whatever. And if it means Jesse Wagstaff gets a week suspension, small price to pay. They don't care. But this is, to me, it is a number of things. If Shea Lee wasn't concussed and has missed now three games and possibly more, and that status is very iffy. I smell a rat on that one. Something is really going on there. And if that wasn't infecting, pardon me, pardon the pun, I suppose, the Melbourne camp, then the Melbourne HQ wouldn't be looking at this in the same way. And that, to me, just reeks of, geez, get a new compass, because theirs is pointing magnetic north to South Yarra and South Yarra alone. Yeah. And it's starting to bug me.
Yeah, I'm sure I made a tweet about this today, but I think Hutchie's starting to get an understanding of what it's like to live west of the border, so to speak. Oh, man. Yeah, it's not as much fun when you're not in Melbourne, being so Melbourne focused.
No, you said it. Anything else on Wagstaff or moving on?
I'm just interested to see what the Wildcats choose to do. I would love for them
take it on.
I would take it on because you're setting a precedent, right? This is a precedent moment. Take the fight up to the league. Throw a bunch of different replays of people getting knocked down and nothing happening. Even the video vision of this impact, nobody was complaining about a foul as such.
No, it's true.
And what happened, the audio picked up the referees telling Dean Vickerman to quiet him down, or he'd get a technical. So it's the referees at the game saw nothing wrong, as did nobody else saw it as a vile play, except for perhaps maybe some Melbourne officials.
Mm. It's a toughie. I mean, I just stand with, you just don't want to make contact with the head, but I've made that point.
Yeah.
Let's jump on. Matt Logue kind of won the Australian Basketball Content Award for the day. Got a leak on the spends of teams, somewhat the spends of teams. Some people were critical, like, oh, it doesn't have marquee spending or whatever. It's like, well, you still read it. You still commented on the internet. We've got your money. The money's spent, you fool. So I liked it on the whole. I didn't give it a lot of attention. I read it and thought, okay, that's sort of what I thought would happen. It was very interesting to see. I was more interested to see who didn't spend. Yep. And when I saw Brisbane down the bottom, I thought, no surprise. And it's reared its ugly head this season, and we're going to talk about them. But what do you think?
Yeah, it's similar vein. Sort of looked at it. I read it legally through. I've got an Apple One subscription, so I was able to use Apple News to get past the paywall. Read it. It's like, fair enough. The thing is, because they don't have marquee players and stuff, you can't necessarily take it as gospel. I mean, the fact that Sydney Kings were under, but they had Jalen Adams out for such a long period of time.
Good point.
So, that's something to consider as well. Mm. But what it shows me really is it's basic business, right?
Yep.
In that you can afford to spend more when you make more. Yep. And so Perth Wildcats, over the soft cap by 400K, what do they care? They're getting in like 13,000 people. They're selling merch at ridiculous prices.
Spend is relative to, what do you call it, turnover.
And then as a result of being over the soft cap, they sort of have to pay a fee to the league, right? So everybody wins.
Everybody wins, except, of course, the Wildcats who didn't make the finals. But these things happen. Yeah, I just thought it was good content and it got people talking.
Yeah, and apparently I heard a rumor saying there might be more news to break. Ooh. So some sort of salary news or something, but we'll have to watch this space.
Someone's been taking screenshots of that owner's WhatsApp group I've heard so much about. I'm not joking. There's such a thing exists. But good on the Matt Logue. Tip of the cap. Well done.
Yeah, good reporting.
Good reporting. Let's jump on. You've got some odds for the people. Let's hear them.
I do, yeah. I was thinking about this. We're sort of at that point of the season where you've got a bit of a feel for all the teams and players and what's going on. And it's that great time of the year when you think, who's going to lose their job first?
Yeah.
And that's always a fun game of speculation to play, right? And I like playing it too.
I feel bad for those being speculated upon, but yes, it is a fun game to play.
Yes. And none of this is personal, of course. Probably a wonderful person. And in the correct situation, I'm sure you could be an amazing player. But maybe this time it's just not working out for you. Hmm. So what I've done is I've gone bookies odds style. Who is going to get sacked and where would you place your money? Mm-hmm. In terms of now, I am no bookie, so these odds may be like wrong in terms of their scale or out of whack. I don't really know, but I've just had a crack at it, right?
Let's take a look.
Would you like me to go from most expensive?
Least likely to get sacked. Least so the likely, longest odds, please.
Okay. So down the bottom, we've got Robert Franks. I'm paying $3.50.
No. Only because Adelaide stuck it out with Crocker. They stuck it out with... Well, Sloan is the exception to this, but they stuck it out with whoever the hell they had last year. Oh, Hannah's and Todd Withers. No, they're a stick it out team. I just don't think they're that big a spend. So, no, okay. I'm saying very, very long odds on.
All right. No, then I've got Craig Randall, his running mate, $3.20.
Sacked, no. Get an NBA call up. I actually think that's still in his possibility. He can just straight up shoot from court to court, and teams seem to like that. So, no, no, he's not getting sacked. I actually think he's quite good.
Okay. Tashaun Thomas, not taking any of your money so far. Tashaun Thomas, $3. The guy can't stay on the court.
Can't get healthy. This is what was the number you gave?
$3.
I think he should be, that's quite long. I wouldn't bet it, but dearie me, guy can't stay on the court. You said it. So, I would flirt with that. I'd have a think about it.
All right. Next up, Trey Kell, $2.80.
We look bad and looked a little heavy, a little husky.
Mm-mm.
But didn't do much, but one game he's been hurt. No, I'm not taking, not interested.
Nick Tan's more interested in a tuna mornay than Trey Kell at the moment. So he might take the $2.80.
And let me tell you, Nick Tan will turn his nose up at a tuna mornay faster than you can say tuna fish.
Next up at $2.50, Brady Manick.
Okay, now we're talking. The Wildcats are dead last in rebounding, mm-hmm. dead last. And yep.
He doesn't play defense.
Doesn't play D. And, you know, you can get shooting from – I'll ask your question with a question. Who would you rather have on your team, Brady Manick or Tom Vidanovic of New Zealand? We just saw him play.
Wow. Tommy V's playing well at the moment. So right at this moment, I would take him. He's not so
– It's the reason he plays defense. So I would look at Manick big time. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Next up, $2.10, Gary Brown. Southeast Melbourne under the
hasn't
the
been
pump.
On the floor. They're under the pump, but I think he's their savior. I actually strongly disagree with this one.
Okay. Rajon Tucker, $1.90.
Now we're talking. I like Tucker. I actually think he's good. I worry about the discipline. No, but again, I'm not taking it because I don't think Melbourne are going to cut two imports and there's an import on their team that's in more damage. And I think he's going to top your list.
Well, we got another Melbourne import. It's not Melbourne United, though. Southeast Melbourne, Alan Williams at $1.75.
No, I like Big Williams. Sauce. Big Sauce. You don't like him.
Well, it's not about like it. Yeah, I'm just a bookie, you know. I'm just looking at the numbers and trying to figure out how I can make some more money.
He's a big guy. Yeah, I like him rebounding-wise. They've been a mess structurally. I've got no problem with Big Sauce. I actually think if the Wildcats could do a straight-up swap with Thomas, they'd probably take it.
They tried to get him first up, didn't they? And it fell through.
That's right.
$1.70 out of Brisbane, Tyler Johnson.
I'm only not taking this number because Tyler Johnson and Brisbane, they're just not a mover and shaker team. They're a team that's like, we're bad again for a decade now? Yeah, okay, no problem. We'll just take it on the chin like they do all the time. They're not a mover and shaker team. They've hung on to guys like Isaiah Moss and they've gone back to Patterson repeatedly. They're not getting rid of him.
All right. Now it takes a big jump. So that was $1.70. My next one's $1.30. So it's getting more and more likely that this is going to happen. Devondrick Walker.
Low spend guy, but there's been a lot of speculation. I don't buy any of that speculation. I think that's an agent plant. to get more of his guys signed. No, I like Walker, and he's a decent little player, and he's not the root of the Brisbane Bullets problems not buying into it.
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he is either, but I think he might be an easy scapegoat.
Easy scapegoat, and also low spend guy you can just cut. I'm inclined to do it, but I'd be betting with my heart, and I wouldn't want to bet against my heart that I like.
your returns are going to be very low. So at $1.20, $1.20 now. Come on. I can interest you here. Simon Mitchell.
Before the season? No. Been there too long. Been there from the beginning. Southeast Melbourne. It's almost like a small business. They're not going to do that. No, don't like it.
Jeez, all right. $1.10. It's basically not worth betting at this point. James Duncan.
I mean, I'm shocked. Is there any other names on this list? Yeah, there must be. James Duncan. Wow. Wow. I mean, it's pretty easy money. Is he going to make the end of the year? Oh, boy.
It is first sacking, though, to be fair.
I mean, I wouldn't bet it, but yeah, I don't think he'll be there. Who's their assistant?
God, who knows?
Is it someone who could step up?
Oh, hang on. No, isn't it Perro?
Pete Crawford.
And
Vanderjagt. I mean, are they capable? If it was someone who'd coached before, I'd be much more inclined. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of sacking. We're going to talk about Brisbane a lot.
All right.
He's not the root of their problems for me. If Brisbane management are honest with themselves, James Duncan, I don't think is actually they've looked bad. No, he's gone.
All right. He's gone. All right. There we have it. He's finally.
I'm lying to myself. I'm lying to everybody.
All right. My last one. Also paying $1.10. Jordan Caroline.
This is the name I wanted to talk about for you. And listen, I actually like Caroline. I think he's got good pedigree. He can stat. He can rebound. He's just not working out there. And the reason why I bring it up is I'm going to give your bookie's number. I'm going to give you a number in return.
All right.
I'm going to give you two numbers. You tell me the significance of them. 9 and 23. Why are those numbers significant as far as Caroline's concerned? 9 and 23.
Gosh. It's not 9 his points per game and 23 his minutes played.
You're sort of close-ish with the second part of that. 9 and 23, that's Barlow's minutes last year compared to this year. Last year, Barlow played 9 minutes a game, retired, came back. He's now averaging 23 minutes per game, starting over and playing more than Caroline, their import. When you say about, I like Caroline, but you look at the actual what's on paper and what's happening,
yeah,
they are going to David Barlow over him routinely and often, and it is, oh boy, it looks bad. It's not like, it's a kind of emerging, even if it was, say, Peatling. All right, they're doing the Melbourne thing and kind of the nepotistic thing they've had a habit of. No, it's Barlow who's sort of, was retired. Yeah. So, no, I feel bad for Caroline. He's going to struggle.
Okay. So it seems like we're in agreement that the first sack will be Jordan Caroline. I'll give you a small benefit, small return on your bet, 10 cents to the dollar. There you go. Couldn't get you more. That's something a bit different. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be a bookie in my life. I don't think I can quite do it.
I'll bet that. I'll bet that for sure. Duncan, I want to ask you, though. You think he's going to last?
I said
he wasn't. No, I think he will. No.
I think he's toast.
Yeah, I think they're going to save their hide. I don't like their team. I don't think he's the root of their problems, but
coach is the easy sacking. Also, when you want to save money. Yeah, they're an ownership that don't like to really open the wallet too much.
No.
I think sacking a coach is probably the cheapest option.
And it saves their hide, your McKinnons, the general managers there. Yeah, no, he's in big trouble.
Yeah.
Big trouble. And because the problem is as well, they don't have an easier schedule from here on. I think they play Sydney again. No.
Yeah, I think
who they just lose to?
They just lost to Sydney.
Okay, no, they play someone different. I haven't got their schedule ahead of me. I might grab that. But yeah, that's interesting. Let's go to the games and then let's jump off the topics from that. Let's start with Adelaide, Tasmania.
Yep.
This was a while ago. It feels like a lifetime ago. Tasmania beat up on them and everyone was very down on the 36ers. I will say this, NBL x NBA. The last team to do it, Melbourne, two seasons ago before COVID, they lost 4 of their first 5. Mm-hmm. So just, whoa, that was Trimble and Long, a much better team than what Adelaide have got. Johnson was hurt, and it was obvious, but he doesn't help them play defense. The margin for error in this team is is bad. They allowed 15 of 38 from the three-point line. Most were uncontested. Yeah. Tasmania really beat them up.
Yeah, they were beaten at their own game. I mean, that's the Adelaide game. Shoot more threes than the opposition. And Tassie did it better than them.
And Randall, you were saying how import to get cut. I mean, he just caught it. Every time he caught it, he shot it. He is looking to score every time. I don't hate that. But at the start of the year, I said I didn't like this 36ers team because I don't think they're going to play defense. They gave up 97 points to the Jack Jumpers. Yeah. It's a team that routinely scores 30 points less than that. How'd you see it?
Yeah, very much the same way. Randall, again, he also had the whole, getting angry on the sidelines and all that kind of stuff. So that's never good to see, especially this early in the season. Adelaide just didn't seem to have any energy. Like you say, the return game. They played Majette into some form, though, so that was nice of them.
Did they ever?
Guy that was previously benched and unplayable, he's back with a vengeance now. So I mean, he was good job, Adelaide. Open.
He hit like three massive threes and they're still going under screens on him. I was like, wow, this team's commitment to defense is atrocious. Yeah. I felt bad for Adelaideans. I just thought the problem for me was, okay, they were fatigued from the US. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the blueprint where it's like, oh, okay, if they weren't tired, that would have gone down. I just thought the defense was so bad and structurally bad. And they played better in the round.
You're playing your first home game in front of a crowd.
10,000.
They're revved up because you just beat an NBA team.
I expected the shots to not so go down, but there's no excuse for some of the defensive stuff they did.
Yeah.
I can't have it.
It just felt like the imports were like, oh, look at us back in the city of churches.
Great comment, Canyon. That's Bruton's biggest obstacle this year is shit. How do I refocus them from playing in Phoenix and in the NBA to, oh, now you're in Adelaide and it's, get ready for 28 games.
Yeah, we're traveling to next stop, Wollongong.
Next stop, Wollongong. Did you bring a coat? We're going to Tasmania. Do you like apples? How about them apples? Sydney Cairns. Let's move on. Hunter only played 6 minutes. Could have came in and out of this game. Why? What happened?
So I didn't see this game. I was on my way to the next game, Perth v Melbourne. So I didn't actually see it. I just saw the highlight. The only thing I saw was the highlight of Jordan Hunter cleaning up Jonah Antonio in the backcourt. Yep. So can't speak to it.
I have a question for you. This is broadly about the Kings. Do they have a soft white underbelly? Their bench. I really can't name many off their bench. Kwat Noi.
Angus Glover comes back. You've got Hunter. Sean Bruce.
Bruce.
Biwali Bales.
Bale. Ooh. Not exactly lighting the world on fire. And Noy's the guy who's, they need something from him.
Yeah.
Just wanted to highlight that. I want to say this, though. Taipans are averaging a league-high 35.3 three-point attempts per game. They were 13 of 40 in this one. I tried to find what the regular season record for attempts is. I couldn't find it.
Okay.
Hopefully that comes up. But people who say, oh, I like the NBA, there's been a lot of talk of Longley and Gaze being like, oh, I prefer the NBL over the NBA, and a lot of criticism online is NBA, just shoot threes. Well, Cairns are doing it and having great results and actually are quite fun to watch, doing a very NBA style, layups, threes, run and gun with defense thrown in for a measure. They look like a middle-of-the-road defense, which is enough. I want to talk about this. Adam Ford, press conference, takes a shot at ESPN's Olga Newlett. Bang.
He did.
Very condescending from Adam Ford. You saw it. I think you may have been in on the presser. What'd you think?
I wasn't in on this one. I watched it afterwards, but I saw him saying, Olgan writes his little articles for ESPN. And
Little
articles.
Little.
Look at the little boy writing his little articles. How sweet.
What'd you think? Like or dislike?
I like Adam Ford press conferences. I don't always agree with what he says or how he goes about, but I like his candor, and I wish we had more coaches that aren't just, I'm just going to give you the talking points of the day kind of thing. So I enjoy it, so I don't ever want to discourage it. But at the same time, Holgan's just doing his job. Yeah. he's paid to write articles. I'm sorry, but that's his job.
Big and little ones.
Yeah. And he sometimes writes quite big ones. So
I've heard he's got big ones, really big ones in his back pocket.
So it's a little bit, but I think, you got to worry. The old adage, don't worry about what people are saying about you. Just focus on yourselves.
Well, the thing, I wonder if Yulich will reply. I hope I'm pronouncing Yeah. And my reply would be this. I'd be like, Adam Ford, my articles are little. Your presser on YouTube got 544 views. Now, that's little. So no one's listening. So, have all the jibes you want. But, that's basketball. I can feel for ESPN, Olgan over there. Yeah. It's, he's not a former player. He's an easy target. Ford had never got Gaze or Copeland, and some of them say stuff that's, I strongly disagree with. It's obviously, but then never, so it's a strange little subculture. It's hard to crack. Also, thinner skinned than a dehydrated pensioner. So, I hope ESPN come back and say, hey, Adam Ford, here's an idea. Whack.
There we go.
Coaching in some tin shed. Get out of it. Get the fuck. All right, let's move on to the one you're at, Perth Melbourne.
Perth v Melbourne, yes.
People said to us, NBL Pocket Pod, if you don't talk about the refereeing, you're gutless. I think it was from Ben, and I agree with him, so we're going to talk about it. You're at this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I was more than at this game. So first of all, I want to give a giant, big Patreon-sized thank you to NBL Pocket Podcast Patreon Tanya, who invited me to the game. So, but not only did she invite me to the game, she invited me to sit courtside at this game. Now, that just out of the blue, you get a message from a Patreon supporter saying, "Hey, I got this ticket. Do you want to come?" Oh my goodness!
Tanya, this is like the Great Gatsby of basketball. Like, amazing! Come on, we're having a hot balloon ride and going up to West Egg. Unbelievable!
So I want to say thank you to Tanya. She's actually a Brisbane Bullets fan.
Nobody's perfect.
She hadn't heard the previous podcast yet, where I basically gave my giant apology saying how terrible the Brisbane Bullets turned out to be. So luckily, good thing she hadn't listened to that, because maybe she wouldn't have invited me. But look, I just want to say thank you to her. And look, if you're an NBL Pocket Podcast Patreon, now it's not a requirement to give us courtside seats.
No.
Not a requirement, is it? But, I'm here in Perth. Joe, where are you these days?
Yeah, I'm in Melbourne.
There you go. So, just saying.
I want to say this to Tanya, and we are men of our word. Tanya, next time you're in Melbourne or whenever, I'll take you courtside to Melbourne United. I know. We can plug our noses. We'll be there the whole game. It's a promise.
There you go.
I mean that.
We can use the Patreon money to buy you and Tanya a seat.
I'd reach in my own pocket.
There you go. Refereeing in this game was bad.
What made it bad? Obviously, this was the screen wag stuff. We've spoken about that, but branching beyond that, what else was bad or good?
There was a lot of sort of grabbing off the ball. Cotton couldn't cut through without getting hit.
He was getting hit
on drives, and they just weren't even calling those. And then I felt like the referees could point to the scoreboard, because it was a long time. I think in the second quarter there was only maybe one foul in the Wildcats or something. And I think they were sort of saying, look, we're not biased. We're not calling fouls on you. But it just got let go too much. The game just became rougher and rougher. Then Travers got smashed by Humphreys.
To be honest with that, can I be honest? It was well disguised. I can understand why the ref would have missed it. I saw the replay lovingly put up by Nick Tan. Thank you. I saw it and I was like, wow, I can actually see why you could miss it. Now, that's me sitting in an armchair watching it on a small screen on Twitter. Yes. Yep. However, even when I went back and watched it, I was like, it just didn't look like a lot of contact. It didn't even look like contact at all.
I think that was more – it was more like it had gotten to that point. Mm. And it was like people were frustrated because, well, if you'd been calling the others, that would never have happened kind of thing. It's like that was the evidence that the refereeing had gotten – out of control rather than that particular call. It was just a bad performance. There was just referees in the wrong position were making calls. There's one I recall. I think it was Copes made the call through a guy from opposite angle, and it was a clean block. I think Blanchard blocked it, and that was like right at my eye line where I was sitting, and it was the cleanest block you've ever seen.
I do recall this play.
And he called a foul, and it's just like, just even if you're not sure, don't. That's a highlight play. Let it go.
I want to propose a real fix to this problem. And people talk about part-time refs and all sorts of stuff. I actually don't think this is maybe that would help. That would certainly help, but that's one solution. I want to offer another one. Can you recall TBT, the time they had it in lockdown. So yeah.
When we did it every day. Special.
Do you remember how good the standard of officiating was at that tournament? And we even made certain of it and made mention of it. And I remember I'm going to go back. People, please go back to those TBT episodes we did. Whatever the name of that head referee was, who kind of, he was the guy. He was so good. And if he's doing TBT, I'm sure you could bring him to Australia for a season or something, because I really think you need it. You need to get out of the Australian referee mindset, bring in a foreigner who's not afraid to just say, this is the way we're going to do it. This is our point of emphasis. This is TBT is my background. Here we go. Then there actually needs to be a change of personnel. They've gotten stale. It's the same people, Vaughn Mayberry and Michael. All right, this conversation's gone on too long. It's obnoxious. It's annoying. Fundamental change needed. Spend some money, please. It will improve the product. You will see an improvement to the bottom line. Please. That's what I think. On this game as well, Norton, negative 10. A lot of talk of him was he played really poorly online. People were very critical of him. Majuk, negative 13 in 6 minutes. Just unplayable. Unplayable. Wow.
Yeah, it was a disaster every time he was on the court. But then you had Brady Manick, who wasn't able to defend Humphreys either. Humphreys was the difference maker in this game.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. And we've cussed out. I cussed out Humphreys. He had a good game and then backed it up with shit. Barlow played more minutes than Caroline is a note I've got here, but that's becoming standard. Wildcats shot 6 of 33 from the outside and were out-rebounded. You can't do both. That rebounding is an issue for Perth.
Yeah, there was one sequence at the end there where they gave up about 5 offensive rebounds in one play.
It's just
play.
Not Wildcats. It's never been sustainable, successful Wildcats basketball. And that comes down to Thomas and Manick, and they got to work out something. Yep. Manick, but also Thomas got to get on the floor. Happy to move away from this one?
Yep, let's move on.
Adelaide, Illawarra, they bounced back. They won. I will say this, 36ers gave up 80 points to Illawarra, you know, which doesn't sound like a lot, but Illawarra's gutted. You know, Harvey had 16. 26%.
Yeah.
Harvey, we've spoken about him. Like,
the struggle.
Is he on an island, or are you pulling the plug, or are you like, no, they're a bad team and he's struggling? Da, da, da. But he struggled all last year with Gorge and whether a winner. My chips are off the table. Where are yours?
Yeah. They're off the table. In actual fact, you will. I asked a question of him tonight in the press conference, which kind of is right on this point.
We'll play that later, but I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. So I won't give. I'll save that one.
Yeah, let's do it.
But yeah, he's struggling. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Look, I think in this game, if Adelaide get hot from three, like all their ills are covered. Doesn't matter how bad they play everywhere else. If they're hitting big.
Oh, Randall was a freak.
Yeah.
They were so clunky to three-quarter time. They got bailed out. And this scoreline is very flattering, but you know they were down 2 points going into the fourth. And then Randall scored, what, 17 points, five threes? He could easily miss more than he made, and they're done. They've lost.
Yeah.
Swaka and Mathiang. I'm going to make a point about Mathiang. Is Mathiang the least interested player this season?
I thought he was going to be good, but he's not showing much, is he?
If he's rehabbing injury, he's still getting decent minutes and doing nothing and you know, dropping the ball and fumbling and kind of dogging it on plays and getting dragged. I've seen two games now in two instances where he's been dragged. I'll bring it up now in the game most recently against New Zealand. It was just tracking Rob Lowe down the floor, who came down for a dunk.
Yeah.
And straight away, JJ was just like, what's his name? Jacobamas? Jonas?
Jacobamas?
Jacobamas, pardon me.
Jacobamas?
I think I've seen enough.
Jacobamas. Yeah.
Jack in the box was just like, no, back in yours, Mathieu. It's over. So, and Mathieu, a stinker on the plus minus. I have grave concerns about him and them and Harvey and the whole thing. This game, ugly. Yeah. 34 assists, 35 turnovers for both teams combined. That's a assister ratio of less than 1-1. You're aiming for 2-1.
Yeah.
Two teams that are just clunky. Adelaide won, yes, but I still don't see where they're a top team. Any other thoughts?
Mattyang seems like one of those guys who looks like he has all the tools, right? He's got a good physique, athletic, really looks like he could dominate a league. But it's kind of like the Dangadel curse. Illawarra had a couple of years ago, where a guy just doesn't seem bought in. Doesn't matter how good you theoretically are, if you're not buying in, get off the court.
And as I said, the draggings were quite spectacular. You had to watch them, but just these sort of concentration and effort errors that got him dragged. I'm like, dragged? Mm. This early in the season?
Yes.
Oh, dear. I can forgive overzealous effort and bad shots. That's fine, but yeah.
Yeah.
When you're getting beaten up the court by Rob Lowe, I know it's the other game. Holy moly. Let's talk about South East Melbourne, New Zealand. I want to ask you this question. Yeah, you go. Yep.
No, I've got – you go ahead. Oh, yeah.
New Zealand, the big question off this is, are they good? They've won three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a team that, you know, are they better than Adelaide? Are they better than South East Melbourne, your teams that I've got sort of top six?
What do you reckon? Like, you tell me.
I'm going to say yes, and here's why. I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but I had this written under the Hawks, but New Zealand, and here's why I think they're good. When you watch a New Zealand Breakers game, especially the ones they've won, they play to their pace. They play a game and they control both sides, and it is on their terms.
Yep. I
really like their two bigger guys, Pardon and Brantley.
Yep.
They're really big but mobile but solid. I really like them. So they're number one in rebounding percentage, which allows them to play their pace, which is slowly. They're last in pace, and their games are very much like that.
Yep.
And for that reason, I think when you are a team that the game is played on your terms, you're a good team. So I think they're going to be in the play-in area. I've liked what I've seen. Having said that, though, they've beaten Illawarra and they've beaten South East Melbourne. They have beaten the Jack Jumpers when they were in a wee slump, but the Jack Jumpers I still think are good. So they've beaten one good team, lost to Melbourne, not by a lot. So I think they're good. I really
You know what I like about the Breakers is teams are often an extension of their coach or an extension of their coach's personality. Mm-hmm. And if they can reflect that coach's personality, I think it's a good thing. Particularly in the case of Breakers, it seems like they are reflecting the personality I perceive as Modi Mayor having. Right, they're playing with an enthusiasm, sort of a bit of craziness, but very happy and excited. And I think that's a good thing on a basketball court. I think they're all very exuberant and enjoying themselves, much like you would see Modi Mayor enjoying himself on the sidelines, particularly in the last couple of years with Dan Shamir, you know, jumping around all the place. He built quite a reputation. And I feel like his team are kind of an extension of that personality, and I like it. And I think the players are there for him. And I think it's, I think they're going to be better than we expected.
Well, and here's the thing. All these Breakers players, they statted in every category. You know, guys get sort of 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and guys get it's not just one guy doing everything. They're a real unit. I really like it. Couple of pointers. Kyle Adnam will exhaust every second with the ball looking for his own score before passing. I've never seen anything like it. He's ninth in usage rate, and I think after this most recent game, that's gone higher. Kyle Adnam, ninth.
Jeez. He is the captain. He's calling his own number.
The defense of Southeast Melbourne was hopeless. Bigs in and out. There was just no coherency about what to do. The commentary was very down on them for it. Rob Lowe made this team like Dirk Nowitzki. And Woody. Bless Woody. We love Woody. He's gone through some stuff now. He will often text me and say, Rob Lowe for sixth man, which I predicted some years ago. This year, it's looking like quite a good pick, but he looked like Dirk Nowitzki in this game.
Yeah.
He absolutely killed it. So
he has been reinvigorated, Rob Lowe.
Mm. And this is what I've got here. My major concern for the Phoenix, while they don't have a full health or roster, I can admit that, I didn't see a discernible strategy on defense that, when they're at full strength, players can slot into and be effective. And on offense, none of their baskets felt manufactured. They all felt like found gold. And the weight on Gary Brown, the soon-to-be returning, you would hope, to articulate and orchestrate like they have when they had Sykes, who did that exact thing. They were a losing team without him both the year before and after. The weight on him to do that on the floor is, I think, a great burden. We'll see if he's up to it.
Yeah,
they go as far as he takes them.
Yeah, I have grave fears for this Phoenix team, which is why I had Simon Mitchell as pretty short odds to lose his job.
I hate to say it aloud, but I think you may be right on that one. Melbourne, Tasmania. I just want to say this: holy shit! Open the doors and windows when Melbourne played Tasmania, 64-74, slogfest.
Yeah,
41% from the field combined. This is casual fan crypto night. Ugly.
It is ugly. And that's Tassie are quite happy with that. Because they'll win games when they play out when the game's
they
ugly.
Love playing Melbourne. They out Melbourne.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Well, this game, the thing that struck me about this, Melbourne don't seem very smart in the way they play. They just don't seem to think it through a lot of the time. They ice guys, like they leave Chris Golding out there to do not much. They had Humphreys playing a good game last game, so they don't build on that. They just kind of leave him out there to fade away. He showed that he can't be relied upon. And Tassie play smart. Like they just keep working the probabilities. They do the smart things. Meanwhile, you've got Melbourne all trying to make, you know, crazy plays. You've got Tucker and XRM. You've got them all trying to be the man.
They just get beaten by Tasmania's regular. I mean, Dean Vickerman, always been a defensive coach. Offense has kind of baffled him. And, you know, they're running into the same problem they had last year. But Illy, they miss. I still think Melbourne are okay, but they got to work out what they're going to do with Caroline. They want him gone. What are you going to do? You got to cut him. You got to do something. So
you got to find somebody else quick.
And they're going to. They're not silly. You can't be playing Barlow over here. Even to him, out of respect to him, you can't bring in an import and play him behind Barlow.
No.
I like Barlow. He's good, but he's a bench guy. You know, come on, he was retired.
He was going to retire. Yeah. Let's...
Brisbane-Sydney.
Yep.
Brisbane-Sydney. I want to ask you this question. Man. Have a guess. Can you? You're a smart guy. Look in your crystal ball. Have a guess. Which team do you think leads the league in turnovers?
Brisbane.
Ding, ding, ding. 18 per game. Here's a funny one. Guess who is last in offensive rebounds in the league?
Brisbane.
Oh, ding again. Have you thought about buying life insurance? 7.3 offensive rebounds per game. You can't. They just get no second look. They don't get a look at it off the backboard. You know, found, got, they turn it over.
They've got so many big guys as well. And they've got, like, theoretically the biggest of big guys. They got
They're
Aaron
all
Baines.
Slow and immobile. Baines was a negative 30 on the floor. He couldn't guard anybody. He was getting, you know, Cooks was just getting in the paint, triple-doubled almost. Score it, pass it, 9 assists. It was a joke.
Yep. That game was just, this is the James Duncan swan song. It should be anyway. Like, and it may not all be his fault, but he's the easy one to get rid of. And their offense is so baffling. Their defense is all over the place. It's just horrible.
Horrible. I've said that. And also, here's the thing I want to make. I really want to make a point about Baines. Big signing. People lost their minds over it. Thought he was going to be amazing. I just never bought it. I just thought, For one, we've seen the seven slow, sluggish, super strong and has his place, but we've seen that in the NBL. It's a Colton Iverson experience, and his numbers are not too different from when Colton Iverson played later in the year for New Zealand. And then secondly, if you think for a second that Moldova, the agent of Baines, is going to let him play a second over 25 minutes, he would see that that's going to happen. Fly to Brisbane or wherever they're playing, get out, rush to the stadium, grab the ball, run away, just stare down the camera and say, no, this league stops now. There's just no way that Baines was ever coming here for anything other than rehab. And we're seeing it where he is on the tightest minutes. He has come so close to 25 minutes but would not dare go over.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm sympathetic towards James Duncan, because that's not in his control. And it's a mess. And the idea that you could spend a marquee who's only going to give you just over half a game. And, you know, you look at guys like Cooks, yet late 20s, itching to just play every second. And then Baines, who's just thinking, I'm not going to give my heart to, like, I've got NBA money. What? Yeah. You know, what am I? I just never got it at the time. I don't get it now. And here we are.
Just quietly, Xavier Cooks. Now, I don't think he's MVP, but I think he's definitely most valuable Australian player.
Oh,
came at eight points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, like, and just totally in control.
Here's the thing, though. Nobody can guard him.
He's so quick.
He's just quick at his size, and nobody can guard him. No one's got anyone even close to him. So
do you remember when a couple of years ago, I think, it was always the Mitch Creek versus Xavier Cooks argument, which one's better, which one's ahead in the – There's no question now, is there?
There is no question in my mind. I mean, Creek's a little bit stretchier, does have a bit of range, but, I mean, is Creek healthy? He always looks and you know, is Creek in the right situation? We talked about how bad South East Melbourne are.
Yeah. There it's is just interesting still a slight how, debate, but how he's come along. Like, bravo to him. Like, he's really
– Yeah.
Yeah, and a game like nobody else in the league, really, the style of play that he – he brings out. The last other one thing I want to say, Nissan Stadium, like, can you fix your nets? Seriously, those nets.
You know what I felt really quaint about? They're like, we had a sellout at Nissan Arena, 4,500.
Like, yeah.
But sellout, that's capacity. Yikes.
Do you know what I mean about the nets? Like, guys would shoot it and the ball would sit in the net for a couple of seconds. Like, I'm losing 5 minutes of game time because the ball's not coming out of the net. It's just ridiculous. Like, get decent nets.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I did somewhat notice that. I'll say this. The Kings, 15 straight wins on the road.
Yeah.
For the Sydney Kings. The road dogs, they've taken themselves. Road dogs, the dog, which is a good nickname. Hawks, New Zealand. We kind of already spoke about it, but yep. This just happened. You were in the presser. I'm just going to hit play right now.
Just a question for Tyler. You're obviously in the unenviable position of being sort of the number one target of every opposition team that comes through. Given that, how do you get back to the scoring punch that you were showing, you know, when you first came into the league? Is that something you're focusing on or?
There's one thing I know about myself is I usually don't have a problem scoring. It's nothing really I worry about too much. It's more of a team. We have to figure out as a team how to get everybody involved and getting our offense going. So for me individually, no, I don't worry about that. Scoring will come to me. It always has and always will. My track record proves that. But we got to get some wins, man. And it starts with defense with us. So the offensive end, not too worried about that. We have to buckle down on defense, and that'll help our offense.
Thanks, Tyler. And Jacob, just a question for you. You know, if you look ahead over the next few weeks, you know, do you break it down into what's our short-term goal? You know, sort of forget about the big season, but what are a lot of sort of week by week targets? Have you got any of those sort of lined up at this point?
I mean, we do a game by game situation, and that's how we're treating the season. Obviously, it's been a little bit disrupted, and like every other team, but we just focus on. I just do, and that probably means the team just does focus on the next game. You know, and with this group that we have, with the build that we're trying to do. With the guys that we have signed on, some long-term deals that we're investing in, it's pretty much the only way we can do it. We got to treat it as a week to week. Some weeks will be on a high, some weeks will be on a big low. If we do it any other way with this, young guys sort of get ahead of themselves if they start talking a little bit too far ahead, if you know what I mean.
I know you want to get out of there, so I've just got one question for you. 30 minutes and 46 seconds. On the box score, we see Tyler Harvey and Izzy Liafa with exactly those minutes and seconds played. Is that very specific coaching on your behalf, or is that a fluke?
Nothing's a fluke, man.
Great answer. Thank you.
Andrew, this game, Beauty. What do you think?
Game was not anything to write home about in terms of a contest. It was pretty quickly over. But again, like I said with the New Zealand Breakers earlier, fun to watch because the Breakers play with a joy and an exuberance. And it was on display tonight with a sick Will McDowell-White with the flu game, 17-10-6 for a He's sick guy who really didn't want to, almost didn't play. Amazing. And Rob Lowe keeps Rob Lowing, you know, with like just this amazing comeback season that he's got going on.
Totally. The other thing I'll say is role clarity. I mentioned about the rebounding of the pace in New Zealand, but role clarity. They've shifted off Siva. They've gone, yep, McDowell-White, get healthy. You're the guy. And I really like the way. And Vidanovic gets a nice amount of minutes and their imports kind of play. Repairs kind of slotted in. It's not like Usman Dieng where it was a bit strange why he was there.
Yeah, yeah.
I just love the role clarity. On the team, the one thing I've got here is we talked about before, but Harvey, is he no good or on an island? We answered that, but could the Hawks be better off with his college teammate Felix von Hoff instead?
No, never mind. No, you're saying
it's a joke.
You're being facetious. No, but hold on. Saying is get Felix von Hoff on the team, that's a joke, right? We love Felix, but he's not ready to play. But
too busy at up front. Channel
if 10, you're saying. They need a big guy. I'm saying absolutely. Now, there's all these talks about them getting Peyton Siva in. I don't get that signing.
I disagree. Oh, this is interesting. I think it'd be good. What you disagree? Tell me.
I mean, nothing against him as an individual. Like, he might be good for the team, but I think Lachie Dent's doing all right. You've got him. the backcourt, you know, is Wani a guard? Well, maybe he's a bit of a not a great guard.
He's just a lockdown defender guy. They're good. They're handy.
You got Majonia there who can step in and do a little bit. I just feel like they've got enough point guard by committee.
Oh, I disagree.
But their front court is just delivering nothing. You got Froling who's on a downer.
Yeah.
You got Matty Yang that we talked about already.
Disinterested. Yep.
I just
Dang will do some stuff where I'm like, oof, that's
bad. Yeah.
He took a three today that was just so bad.
I want reinforcements on that front line. I want like a big four, big hefty four.
No, I like it. I think Siva probably got him a little bit cheaper because he had that down year with New Zealand, but that was such a bad year. I always liked his game. I've got a soft spot for his game. I think you shore up your bench a little bit now with Lockie Dent coming off it.
Yeah,
and I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I just think he's a good player who can score. And maybe I'm still of the hope that Harvey, off the ball a bit, you know, staggered screens, coming off a baseline cut, coming off two picks, catch and fire. I just think you can't give up on him yet. You've signed him to 3 years. You're not going to cut him. You're not going to move on. They've got to get value out of him. And I think this gets value out of him, which is the best strategy. And I think do the fours by committee. Sam Froling, you know, can kind of cover guys like Cooks, and it's quite big. And I don't hate it. I actually like the Siva signing quite a lot, actually. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Joseph Kaur, we've gone over our allotted 45 minutes.
I know. Shit. By 4 minutes. Not too bad. All right. Sorry, everyone. Sorry about that.
Have you got anything else for us? I think that's it.
No. I think we bugger off. I mean, people, if you're not a patron, and there's hundreds of you that aren't, so
yeah,
become a patron is what I'm saying. Politely, that
yep.
We'd appreciate that. And
be like Tanya. That's all I'm going to say. Tanya is the
best. You know, in not just in life, in everything, in being a patron, but in life as well. I want to quickly look to next week's schedules. People at home, you can tune out now. This is where we just basically talk to each other. Sorry. Games worth watching. My NBL website, when I go there, doesn't automatically take me to the games. It takes me to the very start.
And I had that problem for a while. It seems to repair itself for the moment, but
it will occasionally do it. Oh boy. Okay, Tasmania, Perth in Tasmania. That's on Saturday. Not bad. Ooh, Melbourne, Sydney on Sunday. Not bad. Brisbane play Illawarra in Illawarra. They play twice this week. Holy shit. Oh no. Twice on the road.
Well, somebody's going to get some wins on the board.
God, they play Phoenix they're not winning that game. No way in hell. The Phoenix are what, on a three or four game skid? Three. They're not losing that. So Brisbane are going to lose that one for sure. That's
okay. That
Southeast at home.
Yep.
And then Illawarra at home, they're a chance there.
They might get off the...
I think they may get... Oh, but second of a back-to-back. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Definitive answer from you. Are they getting a win this round? Yes or no?
Brisbane Bullets? Yes, they will get a win.
To be semi-contrarian?
Not quite now.
No, they're going to lose. They're losing the second of a back-to-back.
Okay.
They're old bodies. They're still hurt. No, they're losing that one. So I say no, they're going to be 0-6.
All right. The game I think will be fun to watch. Sydney versus Adelaide.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
It's Friday night. At Sydney, but you just never know which Adelaide team might turn up.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll see if Walton Jr. can guard somebody. Cairns, Melbourne, there's some decent games, but they're the ones we like.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, everyone, we won't keep you.
No.
Perth versus Perth Volume 2 in Tasmania. Interesting. All right, everyone, Patreon, follow us on Twitter, @ Andrew Canyon and @ NBL Pod is me. And thanks very much, everyone. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Australia's leading independent NBL podcast. Thank you for your support.